Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Bishop Brennan. Welcome, Bishop.
Hello, Father Adam. It's good to be with you.
Good to have you. Today we're continuing our conversation on the Bishop's vision for the diocese, especially as it relates to the Holy Father's document, The Joy of the Gospel. Last we spoke, we were on paragraph 24, if you're reading along with us, and really, what are the marks of a church that's on mission, a missionary church? So, but before we go any further, let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have sent us on mission. Help us to receive this call and help us to respond generously. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So to kind of summarize where we were at in this conversation for those who are joining us is in paragraph 24, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, describes a community on mission, and he wants the church to be a community on mission, and you've seen that the Diocese of Columbus is indeed on mission.
Yes.
And that a missionary church, an evangelizing church, is marked by five qualities. So we went through the first two. The first one is that this church, this community, recognizes that Christ takes the initiative, that he loved us first, and we've received this love. The second is that we are involved in the daily lives of our people. We accompany them. And, you know, we were talking about the real importance of being with people, that there was probably a point in the life of the church where we could expect people to come to us. But now there is this almost a sense of a need to reach out.
An urgent sense of that need to reach out. That's right. Exactly.
Then the third mark, Pope Francis says, an evangelizing community is also supportive, standing by people at every step of the way, no matter how difficult or lengthy this may prove to be. It is familiar with patient expectation and apostolic endurance. Now, we've talked about the patience of the Lord quite a bit and how he shows that in his work. But how do we live this sort of patient accompaniment? He doesn't use the word, but it's essentially there.
Part of it has to do with giving people a little bit of a sense of freedom and just walking with them. Sometimes we all feel everything would be so much better if only people would listen to me. And that may be very true, as a matter of fact. But people have to come to that on their own. Evangelization goes back to a relationship with a real person, with Jesus Christ. That's not something that's manufactured. And that, again, the temptation to want to force the issue, to want to hurry people along or to lose patience, is based on that wrong image of evangelization of the church as being, again, that way of life. And it's just, the relationship with Jesus is just something quaint, or you treat him like an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
No, if he's a real person and you're in a real relationship, that sometimes takes a little bit of time and nourishment and a lot of patience along the way. We're all kind of weak and struggling. So that, I think, is probably one of the hardest part of this evangelizing network.
Yeah.
You'd like to be able to say, this is great news. And you love to see the big response. But sometimes two things happen. Sometimes it's really long. Sometimes we might not even see it. We'll talk about the fruit in a minute.
Yeah.
But, one of the saddest things is I would have some parents would say, Father, I don't know what I did wrong. My kids aren't going to Mass. They seem to have rejected the faith. And sometimes they may not have done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe they did, but by and large, a lot of the people who are asking the questions didn't do anything wrong. It's just that the young people have to integrate that themselves. And I often say to people, pray and pray hard, and hope that you get to see it, but trust that it will happen no matter what. Yeah.
And it seems one of the, you know, at least in my own experience and, you know, and working with people is, especially people who, you know, maybe are secular, you know, we talk about the nones, you know, those who have no faith or those who have rejected the church, that it requires a great deal of patience. And, you know, yeah, it would be great if we could agree on everything, you know, and oh, how easy this relationship would be if, you know, if everyone believed the same thing I did. But they don't. And that requires a great deal of patience to be present to them and to make sure that I don't just dismiss what they have to say.
That's right. Because especially in some of these groups you mentioned, it can be very challenging because they challenge you back.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a lot of patience. But that doesn't mean watering down or running away mm-hmm. either. You know, two of the, to me, the saddest moments in the gospel, one in John chapter 6, when he's talking about the bread of life discourse, and, you know, if he had a public relation person, the person would come up to him and say, okay, Jesus, you got to back off a little bit. They're starting to lose it. And many walked away, and he let them go.
Yeah.
And then the other is in Mark chapter 10, when the rich young man,
the
man walked away. Jesus didn't chase him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't water it down. He didn't say, okay, well, let me make it easier for you. I always hope and wonder in my heart, and this is where the patience comes in, did the fellow come back?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. The real point is that Jesus is offering us something, but he loves us so much that he offers it in freedom.
Yeah.
And that's where the patience is required. And so, yeah, walk, stay, encourage, and don't give up, but you can't force it either. It's not going to – and don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen right away.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. I've been talking to Bishop about a document by Pope Francis, The Joy of the Gospel, especially paragraph 24, and the five marks of a missionary community, a community on mission. We've covered three now. Our fourth is an evangelizing community is always concerned with fruit because the Lord wants her to be fruitful. It cares for the grain and does not grow impatient at the weeds. So this concern for the fruit, what really are the fruits of the mission? It's not the amount of money that we've raised in the diocese or things like that.
No. Or whatnot.
Or whatnot.
I'm going to keep it at the level of the personal. It's the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Joy, hope, patience, kindness, you know. But in terms of fruit from the point of view of the church, it's when people start to hear and respond to the invitation, the joy of the gospel. So this is kind of not in opposition, but complementary to the prior one.
Yeah.
So it requires patience, but we do want to see it make a difference somewhere.
And it's both this is sort of qualitative and quantitative metrics.
That's
right. So yes, vocations.
Yeah.
Newly, you know, people coming into the church.
That's right.
Missionaries, you know, lay apostolates.
People
you
doing
know.
Works to yeah. care for those who are poor yeah. or the oppressed.
But then there's also the qualitative. So the virtue of
right.
people, the holiness, the joy, the hope that people have, the charity, you know, that we
those
have.
Are the fruits, exactly.
Yeah. So wonderful. And then the final marker our Holy Father points to is Finally, an evangelizing community is filled with joy, and it knows how to rejoice always. It celebrates every small victory, every step forward in the work of evangelization.
That's a big one for me. Celebrating every small victory. Mm-hmm. Because every small victory is a victory nonetheless.
Yeah.
And it's a victory of God. It's not my victory. It's not yours. It's every small victory. So celebrating every baptism with great joy, celebrating every return to the faith with pure joy. We have an awesome, awesome experience as confessors sometimes when somebody returns to the faith and the great joy mm-hmm. of being able to lift the burdens,
yeah,
and to see the peace that it gives to someone. We have to celebrate those joyful moments and to know how to rejoice. St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Not just when things are good, but always to see Christ in our midst.
Beautiful. Well, let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we continue as a church to follow you on mission, we ask, O Lord, that you fill our hearts with joy, that you give us that joy in the small victories that you are winning in our midst. We ask, O Lord, that you fill our hearts with patience, with steadfast charity and accompaniment to our brothers and sisters. We ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today was Bishop Brennan. Thank you so much, Bishop.
Good to be with you. I look forward to this again.
Yes, and until next time, peace and all good.